So we have a few problems. Okay, the gospel ended badly and it's an election year, so I need to be a little more specific. We have a massive difference between what it sounds like to talk about ourselves as if we are the beloved children of God, and what it usually looks like to live like that. Like I said, we have a few problems. They're little ones. I'm sure we can take care of them this morning, and life will go on quite happily and indeed much better, right? That's how these things usually work. Okay, maybe not. But let's see what we can do. The Pharisees and Jesus are clearly concerned with what it is to be a good person. Most of us are. There are all sorts of studies you can read to tell you this. But I think you also just know this from knowing yourself fairly well. It's hard to be a good person, isn't it? Yeah, always. It comes down to how do you treat your neighbors and the strangers in the grocery store, either with the screaming kids or who are slow with the change, and the cashier who is occasionally annoying and sometimes nice, but not ever nice frequently enough, and the people in the traffic beside you, and then you have your family, and it all gets very complicated very quickly for most of us. Some of us think we have it easier because we either like our family or our friends all of the time, and can I swap with you? No, I like my family most of the time. They like me most of the time. It works out pretty well for us. But then there are those times when we don't like our family, when we're struggling to remember that we love them, and when all of those other people around us are being really human. And in the middle of that, we understand the Pharisees. How do you keep clean? How do you stay a good person? As people of ritual, as Episcopalians, we understand that ritual helps us. It helps us to come here every week and to practice love in a way that's been set down for centuries. It helps us to have confession. Even if we don't actually spend that much time thinking about it while we're saying it, it helps us. We need that. But that's not always the same as really believing that God loves us. Really believing that that love is freely and wonderfully given to us. Go back and read the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon. It gets either name. And see, first of all, if you can make it through the entire book without blushing, because that's challenging. And second of all, if you believe, even a little bit, that the kind of love and passion and desire it talks about is the kind of love and passion and desire God could have for you, even on your worst days. If you're unfamiliar with the Song of Songs, it is the erotic love poem of the Bible. Every book needs one. This is ours. It's beautiful. It's great because when you're really little, you don't quite understand what all of those things mean, and then you get a little bit older and the hormones kick in and you start reading it in church and giggling. It's a lot of fun at camp. But the church has struggled with this in part because we don't always know as a culture what to do with our bodies and ourselves, but also because, especially in Western Christianity, we're not really convinced that we could be loved by God like that, which is a problem, because that is how God loves us, with that sort of unreserved passion that first lovers have for one another. Think about it. It's a very different view of how God would choose to interact with us and how we could choose to interact with God and the Pharisees, who were worried about how often people washed their hands, which nowadays we usually leave up to the health department. It's not that God isn't concerned about our health and our cleanliness and how we love God back. God is very concerned about all of those things. But none of those things, and none of the many things far worse than that, that we often get ourselves into with that whole being human problem we have, we're working on it. It's not that big of a problem at the end of the day. We'll stop God from loving us like that. Like someone who can't wait to sneak out of their parents' house in the middle of the night and sit beneath our window just because they can. If we start remembering that is how God loves us, one, it becomes easier to deal with some of those ritual things that we may not always like, that aren't our favorite part, but that help those around us. And two, it becomes easier to love everyone around us like that. Because when you start to really believe that God loves you passionately, without end, despite all of the other things, and in fact, because of all of the other things, you begin to entertain the notion that maybe that is how God loves everyone. Love begins to transform us, which is really what all the rest of it is about. Amen.